We coming in hot with this new Sports is Life podcast. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's 2020 is officially over.
But that doesn't change the fact that some crap is still going on, and like a lot of stuff has gotten on our nerves the last couple weeks, and we're about to unload.
Yes, we've been waiting for this and putting it off and waiting for more stuff to happen. And it's been an interesting time since our last episode.
Yeah, so first, what happened was
Courtney is now, we have a new baby in the house. So now I officially have two kids, and one of them is 5 weeks old at this point. So our baby girl was born on Thanksgiving Day on her due date, which is crazy. So I am, at this point, just tired because infants. Sally can attest, it's just a lot. But it's good. Best thing that happened to me in 2020.
So in other sports-related news, the college football playoff semifinals were 3 days ago. And, I mean, one result was shocking, one was not.
Which was shocking? Oh, I guess. I don't know if I really think it was shocking, but sure.
I guess it was shocking the way that it happened, because Ohio State just pretty much steamrolled Clemson.
Yes.
I normally don't root for Ohio State.
I don't either.
However, I was rooting for them to serve a big pile of steaming, stinking humble pie to one Dabo Swinney, and more on him in a minute. I also didn't want Clemson to win because...
I never want Clemson to win.
See, and here's the thing about that. It's a tendency that SEC teams feel like the national championship is a transitive trophy. When an SEC team wins, that all of them get a trophy, right. Which that's not how it works.
They don't even technically get a participation trophy because they did not participate.
Exactly. Florida State fans could care less if Clemson wins championships.
Honestly, the ACC could care less. Like, if Clemson wins a championship, or if Notre Dame had won a championship, or if Miami, like, nobody cares if it's not their team, because their team is who they care about. I feel like it should be like common sense.
Only reason we rooted for Clemson to win is because they're playing Alabama, and I got tired of Alabama winning.
Right.
Yeah, or in the other semifinal, Alabama just basically bowled over Notre Dame, which I think everybody in their right mind knew that was going to happen. And I don't know what Brian Kelly is. I don't know what his play is. After the game, he said that there was a narrative that Notre Dame doesn't belong.
No.
Or they shouldn't have belonged in the playoff to begin with.
That's your 0-7 record. Brian Kelly, nobody is worried about whether Notre Dame belongs or doesn't belong. But when you always lose, and you never lose close, you always get beat by a lot. Like, it's never a close game. It's never a competitive game. It always just makes it look like your entire season was a fraud because you just come in and literally suck that bad.
And, well, we talked about how they beat Clemson without Trevor Lawrence, and there you go. But here's the thing, though. Notre Dame is still just based on their brand alone. They're still going to keep getting opportunities if they win all their games.
That's the thing. It's like when you know that you will get to win, as long as you win all your games or win the majority of your games, just because you're Notre Dame, because you don't play in a conference, because you don't have to play in a conference championship, your independent status, like, we question whether or not your independent status should give you that type of whatever. And even this year, when you played in the ACC and didn't win the ACC championship, you still got in. And it's like, well, did you really deserve to be there? Now, I'm not quite sure who I think deserved to be there more than you. I don't really know the answer to that question either, just because...
I mean, look, honestly, it wouldn't have mattered. Whoever was the 4 seed was going to get busted by Alabama to begin with.
That's true.
So basically, you're just talking about who's going to get that extra CFP money.
Right.
Which, hey, it came to us. Holla back, go ACC. Now, that's what we root for.
Right. And also, let's be really, really honest. FSU needs all the money it could get. So two teams in the college football championship or the playoff, which meant more money for the conference. Go yay, because FSU ain't got no money. See, we found a reason for like all of us to be like ACC-centric. There you go.
Oh, man. But yeah, so we'll talk about who we think is going to win the championship later in the show. What else happened today or yesterday?
Late last night, I think.
Texas finally got rid of Tom Herman, even though the athletic director pretty much said like 2 days ago that, or last week, that Tom Herman's job was safe.
Two things. A, let's be really honest. Athletic directors don't control athletic departments because, unfortunately,
booster money does.
Booster money does, exactly. And two, whenever somebody has to give you a approval, it always ends up bad.
So they went and got Sarkisian from Alabama quick. Now, I'm guessing, is Sarkisian going to coach in the championship game?
Honestly, Texas did it right. If Sarkisian can keep most of the class intact, they didn't get a terrible class. And if he does still coach for Alabama, it's only basically like a week.
That's
he
true.
He doesn't have to worry as much about recruiting right away just because the next signing day isn't until February and he's not stuck in that early signing period process.
He is going to be coaching the championship game.
Yeah.
This next segment should be really entertaining because Dabo's going to be on the stand and we're going to light his ass up.
Yes.
William Christopher Dabo Swinney, both of us got something to say. Courtney, you can go first.
Okay, so Dabo is like a thinly veiled Trumpite in a head coach's uniform. I mean, we should have known that when he rushed to have them go to the Trump White House for their last national championship.
When they got served McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Exactly. And he rushed and went, because remember, they went just, it was a couple of weeks because it was the government shutdown. I mean, they went within a month or so of them actually winning the championship, which I don't have a problem with teams going, even with the orange man in the White House. I don't have a problem with that because that's their right. That's a privilege that they earn. Okay, fine. But y'all rushing up there like in like 5 minutes, that's weird. And so Dabo just made so many comments that just make you realize that like head coaches don't talk to their players ever, like ever. He loves an MLK quote, but understands nothing about what MLK was advocating for. And obviously has never actually talked to his players one time in his entire life. Then he decided to lose his mind about FSU this year. And you're just like listening to him during that whole debacle. And for those of you that don't know, FSU-Clemson game was canceled the day of the game because Clemson traveled with a player that tested positive for COVID once he arrived in Tallahassee. And at that point, FSU had not had any positive test in their program since Mike Norvell, FSU's head coach, tested positive prior to the Miami game. FSU was like, yeah, he tested positive, but he's been practicing. He flew on a plane with other players. Like, we're not putting our players in jeopardy by playing this game. And Dabo and everybody, you know, Dabo Clemson was just like, oh, this is FSU trying to like shrink a butt whooping. FSU is not worried about getting our butts whipped. We've been getting our butts whipped consistently for the last 3 years. Another Clemson butt whooping ain't gonna hurt anybody at all.
Nobody.
Every single one of us will be okay. Not to mention the fact that we also mentioned earlier, if he doesn't have any money, so canceling a home game where they could have made a little bit of money because it's, you know, what, however many fans are allowed in the stands, is not necessarily in FSU's best interest to not make money. And then FSU managed to just have issue after issue after issue after that and barely got in their last like two games of the season. So Dabo just is, but the thing about it is that he could have said his piece and been done, but no, he kept piling on. He basically was like, FSU needs to pay. If they want us to play it, they need to pay $350,000. We already went over, FSU doesn't have any money. So where are we going to spend $350,000 to get the Clemson team back to Tallahassee to play in a game?
Yeah, then he decided he wanted to talk more trash and was like, oh, I've been in this league for 12 years. FSU has had three coaches in the last 4 years. Like, you've got some nerve because only these last 5 years have you controlled ACC, because before then it was you hanging on our Florida State's coattails.
3 decades before?
Get yourself together. Every single time he has an opportunity to say something to endear himself
to anybody.
Yeah, anybody, especially his players, he doesn't. He did that when the whole issue of players getting paid to play. He had an opportunity to say something positive. He completely went against the grain and was like, oh, I didn't get paid when I was a walk-on at Alabama.
And I will quit. First of all, you were a walk-on. You didn't get a scholarship right away either. So hush, number one. Like, not the same thing. Two, how old are you, Dabo? Yeah. College football wasn't making billions then. Sit down somewhere.
Considering the fact that you're freaking now getting paid like $5 million, $6 million a year. Oh, he's like getting paid more. So yeah.
Like nine.
There you go.
Like you're ridiculous. Like you're ridiculous. And obviously we know you don't talk to your players, because as the Black Lives Matter protest came out, your players basically told us you never talked to them about any of this stuff before. So you don't know what your life is like, except the fact that you know enough. And this might be conjecture, but the thought process, or the thing you always heard about Clemson's like team, was that the players were told to wear Clemson gear when they were out in the community so that people knew that they were football players. Because yes, Clemson, South Carolina, like everything that you potentially think about that is probably true, because again, Clemson, South Carolina. I mean, the track and field team just sued the school for getting rid of the track and field team, because it got rid of such a high proportion of African-American student athletes at Clemson. Like, the team just sued them because, you know, the almighty dollar and football being king, and they got rid of the entire track and field team. That's the definition of Clemson right there. But apparently you are a coach of young men, specifically young Black men, and you've apparently never actually talked to them about what their lives are like.
Let's not forget they had that little situation at the beginning of the season where one of his players accused one of the assistant coaches of using the derogatory N-word, and Dabo just kind of brushed it under the rug. It was like, it's not an issue. We've talked it out, yada, yada, yada. Like, get the hell out of here.
It's always not an issue. It's always we talked it out. It's always this thing that you don't want to take seriously. And that's why I personally don't understand how any parent lets their kid go to Clemson, or any Black parent. Like, I understand that you know, he might be great in your room, like in your house and making the pitch. But my thing is, these comments have really just started to build up by Dabo. And I'm like, at this point, I don't know how a parent believes that he's going to take care of their child. Like, I don't know how that is. And I'm really interested to see. I'm not saying that Clemson is going to fall off and fall off hard, but I am saying that, like, this stuff is cyclical, and only Alabama has really been able to, like, truly keep it going forever. Maybe Ohio State. There's only people that have really been able to keep it together forever. So, you know.
Well, here's the thing. Didn't he put his foot in his mouth football-wise when he talked trash? He definitely gave Ohio State some bulletin board material talking about they were 11th. I'm like, look, even...
I actually think his logic was sound, but don't say it out loud. Because, like, I do agree that, like, Ohio State, like, it's such a crazy year. And a team that played 6 games versus a team that played a full schedule or a 10-game season, like, that is kind of crazy that they're playing each other, right? It really is. Like, that there was no uniformity throughout. And Ohio State didn't play a tough schedule.
This year has been crazy because it's a pandemic.
You're correct. You're absolutely right. It's a pandemic. That's why I said his logic wasn't like his logic was not sound, because it was. Like, it is the logic that he used to actually, like, rank his teams was sound. He just did not need to say anything. He needed to not open his mouth. That's the problem, is that he didn't need to say it. But he doesn't know when to stop talking.
And I do agree with you. I don't know when FSU went and got mollywopped by Oregon in the Rose Bowl in this, what we were trying to do, back-to-back championships. From that Oregon game on down was kind of like the beginning of...
The end?
Yeah, the beginning of the end for our program. I don't know if a beating like the one they got from Ohio State, I don't know if that will have a similar effect. I mean, because their freaking secondary got beat like freaking Allen from Remember the Titans. Like, they were all complete liabilities. And they tried to knock Justin Fields out of the game, and then he came back from his bruised ribs, whatever, and came back and tossed 4 touchdowns. So,
look. Although, did you see the press conference where he was just like, he didn't know what was wrong with him. He didn't know, like, they just gave him a shot and he went back out there. That press conference that Fields had and what he said, like, this is why nobody trusts college athletics. Like,
exactly. Because I think it was note,
but some, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, somebody put a tweet. I think it was Darren Rovell, which I don't normally agree with Darren Rovell, but he was like, do you think that if they would have actually gave him a concussion test that he would have been back out there?
But that's the thing, like, but because the NCAA constantly abdicates responsibility and doesn't put forth real rules, they're able to pretend that they have rules, but they don't really have rules. And that's also how we got to the mess that was college football season this year, because the NCAA is supposed to be the governing body. So they have the power to punish teams, take scholarships, impose death penalties, take away wins and losses, take away championships, blah, 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 blah. But they can't write rules when there's a global pandemic if they still want to try and have a season. They did nothing. They left it up to the leagues, the separate leagues, and the teams, and the play, and the individual schools to determine protocol, which is actually how FSU and Clemson got to the problems that they were at, was that the ACC didn't have a coherent policy. Because nobody wanted to have a coherent policy. Everybody just kind of wanted to literally, like, handle this by the seat of their pants.
And since Clemson is the current ACC cash cow, they didn't really hold Clemson responsible for being absolutely messy. So... Now that we got that out of our system, more pressing matters as COVID continues to wreak havoc on this entire world. I think the United States has now reached 350,000 deaths related to COVID.
So insane.
The NFL made it through their entire regular season with no cancellations, even though the Saints today had played with no running backs.
Right. The Broncos played with no quarterbacks. The Ravens just had a game that just kept moving forever. Like, you're just like, it's not popping. It. Wait, when's this game happening? Yeah, they definitely had to be very creative with postponements and when the games were.
The Browns had a game with no wide receivers. But the NFL don't care.
They do not.
Here we go, because now the playoffs are about to start. Yes. And, I mean, there are playoff teams right now that still have COVID issues. Like, major COVID issues that would prevent them from possibly playing on schedule. What's going to happen if a team comes up day before the playoffs and, like, oh, we have an outbreak and we don't have enough players from a certain position group? What's the NFL going to do?
Well, I think they're just going to let them play. I think that they're just like they played, you know, no wide receivers, no running backs, no whatever, because, you know, in the NFL, part of being effective player is being available. So I personally think there's going to be like injury and keep it moving. But at least, like, for the playoffs, they have some flexibility in terms of movement of the games if they really want to. I'm really interested to see, because the thing is that, like, it needs to be like a big player. Like, what if Patrick Mahomes gets COVID and is out for the Super Bowl?
Here's a hypothetical question. If there's a COVID outbreak with a team that's in the Super Bowl, do you think that they would postpone the Super Bowl for as many? What if the outbreak just gets larger and larger to the point where they don't even have anybody to play? What happens then?
Well, I mean, anybody is going to be whatever, but how many players were out for the Ravens? when they kept moving all those games. I mean, and they still kept moving them.
25 people. They signed so many people off the practice squad.
Right. So that's what I don't know the answer. Because I feel like most of the playoff games could move. It's going to affect ratings and stuff like that, but they could move. I don't know the Super Bowl. I guess technically it can, but can it?
That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. We talked about this 6 months ago. Because we were like, oh, the NFL doesn't really care about COVID. They're going to play regardless. And the players had a chance to
force the issue.
And guess, was it me who said they're going to agree to whatever they want to because all they care about is getting a paycheck?
I mean, yes, they definitely are going to agree to whatever, and they definitely just want to get a paycheck. I mean, granted, but there were more players that opted out of the season than I actually expected. So there is also that. But I just don't know. I mean, I think it would have been more comfortable if they would have put them in the bubble for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. There were things that they could have done to curb some of the things that happened, like maybe give teams an extra bye week just in case something happens that they have more flexibility with rescheduling games. Or, like you said, do a bubble for the playoffs, which there was going to be nothing wrong with elongating the end of the season, like stretching in into like mid-February because nothing that they're competing with. But here we are. 25% capacity for the Super Bowl, unless it's changed since I last.
Wait, is the Super Bowl in Tampa this year?
Yes.
I'm surprised it's only 25%. That must be what the NFL is saying and not what the state of Florida is saying, because the state of Florida, I feel like they let them do whatever you want.
But NBA, they just started the regular season. Apparently, nobody's tested positive in the first couple weeks, which is interesting, especially after that whole James Harden fiasco at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but I think the NBA players are
cognizant of.
Yes. And then not to say that, like, nobody will ever test positive. That's not the case at all. But I do think that they're very aware of what's happening and how all of that kind of plays down for them.
I mean, the Toronto Raptors are playing their entire season in Tampa.
Right. Because they can't play
in Canada.
In Canada. Because Canada ain't going to let people come in and out like that. But the interesting thing is that the G League is actually looking at doing a bubble in Orlando at Disney.
I mean, that suits them because obviously the G League isn't as, I mean, it's the minor league. So I feel like the reason the NBA hasn't done a bubble is that they're hoping that soon they can have fans. But I don't think the G League brings in fans like that.
Right.
We talked earlier about NCAA football having issues. Well, apparently NCAA didn't have a plan for college basketball either. Duke women's basketball team has completely canceled their entire season. Because they had to cancel like 3 games in a row, people within the program that kept having issues. So they're like, there's no reason for us to keep going on like this if we can't practice. We can't get our team together. Florida State women's team, they've had issues. The men's team now started having issues. Duke men's team hasn't played since like the first week of the season. We talked about college football with like a 4-team playoff. What in the blue hell are they going to, or is NCAA going to do about the
tournament that they need to have happen? Like, need to have happen.
They couldn't survive going 1 year, much less 2.
The NCAA will be broke. I mean, granted, that's not actually a bad thing. Maybe that's actually what we need to have happen, is that the NCAA does go broke and that they don't have the resources anymore, because that would be ideal.
It'd be funny if the NCAA goes broke, but then college athletes were able to start making money on their likeness. That would be an interesting turn of events.
That really would be.
You know who's been going full-fledged since the beginning of this entire pandemic, though?
Who?
WWE ain't let down not one bit. They are an essential business.
And they also went to Florida. So, yeah, they're an essential business because they're in Florida.
So when we last talked about WWE, yes, the state deemed them an essential business. So they didn't have to shut down. they did most of their tapings in their performance center in Tampa. I've heard rumors that there were little mini COVID outbreaks and a lot of wrestlers didn't feel comfortable being in that enclosed space. So they moved all of their tapings to Amway Center in Orlando. Bigger arena, more space, you know, more room to separate all the talent. They built this giant thing where fans is like a giant video wall of fans from their home, which I've tried twice to get on and I've not done it yet. But now that NBA is back in town, their residence at Amway ended. So then they moved to Tropicana Field in Tampa. Now, that's going to be fun for a few months, but inevitably when Major League Baseball starts back up again, they're going to have to find another residence because...
Yeah, let's be really, really honest. This league, the WWE, is the league that is most likely, I feel like, to like get access to the vaccine early. Just based on their other connections that exist, I just feel like they're the most likely.
And here's the thing. This year's WrestleMania, well, obviously last year's WrestleMania got canceled. Well, it didn't get canceled. It just, they didn't do it in Raymond James as they're supposed to. This year's WrestleMania is supposed to be in SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. And, well...
That's not happening.
That definitely happened because they canceled the Rose Bowl.
Right. The Rose Bowl in Texas. That's so weird.
Yeah. Me being a wrestling nut, so much of the storylines revolve around WrestleMania. And, obviously, a huge part of WrestleMania is having fans and the fans' reaction. And I feel like the ratings have declined a bit because there's no fan reaction because they're not fans at the arena. So if they have a second straight WrestleMania with no fans, Lord help them.
I think I think all of sports are declining. Like, I mean, I guess the NFL, I don't know whether they are or not, but everybody else, just you're playing out of season and you're playing like, well, I think I told Smiley this before we taped. My household just has not watched sports. Like the NFL, college football, like it hasn't watched sports much of at all this year. Like we didn't even remember completely that the playoffs were on, and that is, I think there's more families like that than people realize.
There is one league that's not declining though; it's actually becoming bigger.
And who is that?
Esports.
Oh, yes, esports.
My wife needs to go ahead and give me my PS5.
Your wife can't find the PS5 just like the rest of us. Like, it's not about whether or not she wants to get you a PS5 or not. We got my son a PS5 controller for Christmas and a gaming chair. So he's all set whenever he can actually, you know.
I don't know if I said on this podcast how many games I thought the Jacksonville Jaguars were going to win for the entire season when we talked about the NFL preseason. I know I told my friends that we were going to win 0 games. And they were like, oh, you don't have any confidence in your team. I was like,
no.
Because they shipped everybody away for a bag of Cheetos. And sure enough, the Jaguars finished the season 1-15. I was not far off at all. And for the first time, we have secured the number one draft pick. So,
Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville.
Number one, yes, Justin Fields did outperform Trevor Lawrence in the game the other night. However, that has no indictment on Trevor Lawrence because it wasn't Trevor Lawrence's fault that Clemson's secondary was absolute doo-doo.
Correct.
Two, I know that the Jacksonville market is not going to be very okay with a black quarterback. So, Trevor, come on.
Jacksonville's had them, so I'm not thinking that they, you know, need to have one. I haven't watched college football much of it all. I haven't watched Justin Fields enough to even think I have an opinion on whether or not he's good beyond a season or two. Kind of like a Kyler Murray or like, you know, a lot of these players that come in and they look good at first, but then they don't actually like progress, which I feel like it's happening more and more in the NFL, that players aren't progressing beyond whatever breakout work that they have at the beginning of their career. So I don't actually know who should be your quarterback. I don't, but I...
Oh, I know who it should be. It should be Trevor Lawrence. I'm not...
Yes, yeah. But I do think that Trevor Lawrence is more likely, and that just, like I said, it's a bias because I've seen Trevor Lawrence play. I think he's more likely to be good for longer.
Now, this is all coming off the heels of, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but the battle of owner versus city in a sporting town has reared its ugly head in Jacksonville because the owner pretty much wants to hold the city hostage for getting renovations done in the stadium, around the stadium, or threatening to relocate the Jaguars. Now,
he can hush. Where are they going
to
go?
London. That's the only other logical. It's not even logical that they go to London, but whatever. On the other side, the Jaguars have had two winning seasons in the last 16, 17 years. So the fan base is getting annoyed because the front office keeps making bad decisions, which leads to poor product on the field, which leads to the public being like, I don't want my taxpayer money to go to paying for renovations for this lackluster team.
I mean, let's be really honest. There's not a great argument for tax dollars going to
in any form,
team, yeah. Just because there's definitely not a great reason to do it when city and local governments' budgets are going to be so overburdened based on COVID. It just does not sound like, I mean, I feel like it's going to be an empty threat because I just don't think that the city's going to even have the money to really do it anyway.
I say all that to say, yes, Trevor is likely going to be the biggest part of the puzzle. Now, I assume that by the time we even start producing this podcast, that our head coach is going to be fired. We've already fired our GM. So we still have to find a GM, which there are rumors that Louis Riddick might be in play. And we're going to need a new head coach. Now, Courtney got to rant on Dabo Swinney earlier. And now it's my turn to rant. Because a name that has been rumored in this town over the last few days, yeah, and is really getting on my nerves is Urban Meyer.
Disgusting.
There are so many issues that I have with Urban Meyer being head coach of Jacksonville Jaguars. And the least of which is because I'm a Seminole and he made our lives living hell.
That's the least of which.
Yeah. Number one. When he was at Florida, I mean, I wish somebody would do a documentary on the prop because it's...
Oh, my gosh.
It's well known that during his tenure at Florida, like, his team was full of heathens.
Felons?
you said it. I was going to be like, kids getting arrested back and forth, not to mention Aaron Hernandez. You know, thank goodness that he had Tim Tebow to sort of balance out, which I don't even think he balanced out, but... That's neither here nor there.
Tim Tebow made people think that he was better than he was. And when I say that, I mean Tim Tebow made people think that the program was much more goody-two-shoes than it actually was.
Yeah. If you're choosing this guy to be a leader of men, nah. Number two, it's also well documented that once Urban loses a few games, he starts to have some chest pains. I don't know if that's just because of the medicine he's taking or whatever. But once he, you know, started losing, first he said that he was going to retire from coaching, then told Florida that he was going to come back. And then the next year, they end up getting their behinds whipped, and Florida State pretty much sent him on his way. Then, and here's something interesting, because when he officially left Florida, and he was on Fox game day for a year, everybody in the world was pretty much telling UF fans that he was going to take that Ohio State job when it opened up.
Everybody.
And they were in denial. Like,
they were.
And then the day after the Michigan-Ohio State game, it might have been 2 days. Who cares? They announced that Urban Meyer was going to take over Ohio State. Had success, won the national championship. Then, you know, once again, things started happening. Braxton Miller, homeboy, got in trouble for selling his autographs, whatever, I don't know. And then he started losing. So then the season after that, Ohio State didn't do too well. Then he started having chest pains again and then quit because he wanted to be home with his family. So now you take all of that, on top of the fact that he hasn't coached in quite a few years, on top of the fact that only one real college coach in the last however long has had any type of success in the NFL, and that's Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll started in the NFL first and then went back to college and had success and then went back. So that really doesn't even count. I hope that the Jaguars organization has more sense. I hope that was a rumor, and I hope it's not true. I pray that the Jaguars do not follow through with hiring this man as head coach, because I guarantee you it's going to do more harm than good, and we're going to be sitting here, because he thought he had chest pains after losing one or two games. You're going to lose a lot more in the NFL. So what's going to happen then? And then, yeah, you were able to recruit talent in college. You were able to go in, like, parents' houses and tell them their kids were going to, like, succeed and go play national championships and stuff. These grown men don't care about anything about that stuff. You barely get to recruit. You're given a roster. Make these guys winners.
You have to draft, which means you have to select players and evaluate talent. You also have less room for error because you carry a much smaller roster.
And you're playing against better competition.
I don't even think that his system is going to work well in the NFL. And that's the other problem. It's like you want control, but I'm not sure that your system's going to work well. And if your system doesn't work well,
he's going to be gone.
Then what? Right.
Jaguars obviously are going to need an offensive-minded coach, which means Eric Bieniemy needs to be on lines one. His wife needs to be on line two. His mother, daughter, auntie need to be on line three, four, and five. For once, the Jaguars' job is actually intriguing because we have the number one quarter or number one pick, and we have the possibility of drafting an elite talent. So it's Trevor Lawrence. I feel it's possible to turn this thing around. Either way, no Urban Meyer. If they do something stupid, we going to be sitting here on this next episode, and it ain't going to be good. So, speaking of Urban's last stop, Ohio State and Alabama national championship. Or I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. College football national championship. You got to make sure you put that CFP in there. Our prediction.
I don't have a prediction. I mean, I guess I'm going to say Alabama just to say Alabama because I just don't have a prediction. Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with.
Apparently, Ohio State's number one defensive back was just put on the field to shadow Clemson's number one receiver. And there were times that he looked like he didn't even want to play football or defend or tackle. So I have a feeling that the favorite Heisman winner, Devontae Smith, is going to run through him like a plate of hot Indian food.
You say a plate of hot Indian food, really?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Alabama is, especially now knowing that Sarkisian is going to coach them in the championship, their offense is going to run roughshod over that defense. I mean, look, defense is a thing of the past in all levels of football. You don't have good defense anymore. You just have to have a defense that can make a stop or two while your offense outscores them. That's pretty much what it is. So, and especially Ohio State is still dealing with issues of their roster from COVID throughout the year. Like, they were already down like 20 players when they played Clemson. And if those players can't come back by the time of the championship, Alabama gonna make them drop the sticks. This is probably the first time that I've actually wanted Alabama to win a championship in these past, like, 10 years.
Like, why, though?
Because we talked earlier how I've never rooted for Ohio State, and the only reason I rooted for Ohio State the other night was because of Dabo's mouth, and I feel like somebody need to put a sock in it.
Well, to be clear, I have no intention of rooting for either team. I just think Alabama will win. There's a difference.
Okay, let me rephrase that then. This is the first time in a while that I have no problem with Alabama winning.
All right, I guess I'll give you that. I don't have a problem. I just don't have a care about it one way or the other.
On that note, man, look. I mean, I feel great that we made it to a new year, but, you know.
I feel like we made it to a new year, but, like, nothing's really changed.
Nothing's changed.
Like, we're still, like, in the bleh-ness of the world right now.
I got my first COVID test, by the way, the other day. It tickles a little bit. My wife got the test, and she got to do it herself. I did not. I got the NFL test.
Wait, we postponed doing this whole episode so we could talk about the bowl game that Smiley worked, and we forgot all about it.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, I got to run a play clock for the Texler Gator Bowl. It was fun. I almost got tackled by Kentucky's little kicking net. We stand on the sideline, basically. So there was a few plays where the players got tackled out of bounds, like right in front of us. And I usually just drop the timer and get out the way. Well, one, I dropped the timer and I turned around and I tripped over the little orange yardage marker.
Oh, dear God.
And then tripped over that and it almost fell into the kicking net. Other than that, I did pretty good. I only had one mess up, which nobody really noticed, but referees noticed. So now I get to keep doing it.
So you get to do it next year.
Yep. If I volunteer next year, it'll be year number 10 volunteering for the Texler Gator Bowl.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. I'm pretty sure when you had that talk with me years ago about finding ways to, because I started volunteering for them when I was trying to get my foot back in the door.
That's true.
And here we are 10 years later.
It's yeah. One of the time around the time we say we should start this podcast.
Anyway, we give this PSA at the end of every episode. Keep wearing your masks. Stay away from each other.
Please.
I guess now we can add, you know, try to get vaccinated if you can, because we don't know when everybody is going to be able to get that piece of advice.
Yeah, or when everybody's going to actually be able to follow through on that piece of advice, we should say.
Shout out to the Believe podcast for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I will be a guest on their podcast this week. Shout out to Phil Smith, who has extended the invitation. So if you have a chance, if any Jaguar fans listen to our podcast, check out the Believe Jaguar podcast, and I'll be on there this week. Holler back.
Yay, Smiley.
All right. Peace and chicken grease.
Oh, dear God.